Yeah, so now we're having a sheet. Very good. Is my microphone on? I hope so. Can't see from here. Hope that it's on. So, yeah, it's doing the green up and down. My green voice thing.
Yeah?
Is it going up and down?
Yeah.
And with there you have to see also. Okay, so got up and down, dry under the plätze. Okay, so Rabbi Yisai, last week we finished off Noisek Bef and Kluli, general subject. The first half of last week's shiur was about the chilek between fake, what I call fake, but maybe other people hold of it, and real internality, internalism, pnimius. Right? What was the fake version? Fake version is a kind of internality, how do you say? Primius? That ends inside.
Internalism?
Yeah. Interiority is a better word. Interiority. That the interior designers, no? There's some rabbunim that are the interior designers. They only design the interior of the human being. And then there's other Eden. You know the chilek between a Goyish house and a Yiddish house? What's the chilek? You live here in Lakewood, in Howell? What's the chilek between a Goyish house and a Yiddish house? How do you know if a house is Yiddish or Goyish? You pass by. Firstly, you could see which Eden have certain cars.
No lights.
Goyim don't have lights inside. Yeah. But they have a lot of lights outside. You noticed?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, even clearly, a Goyish house, American Goyim, the Mexican Goyim have a different minogam. But the American guy in the minigas is like, the outside of the house is beautiful. It's very taken care of. There's nice furniture. There's lights. There's grass is groomed and all of that.
Yeah,
but it's light. They put in money and the nice facade and all of that.
Yeah.
Something called curb appeal by the real estate agents.
Yeah.
And then you walk inside and like the kitchen is like piles of rice cakes on the counter. And their toaster is kept on the counter and also the hot water machine and also the coffee for the next 4 weeks. They keep everything out. And it's a big, huge mess, basically. Or maybe in their head it's not a mess, but to me it looks a mess. And it's also dark.
Actually, the style of keeping everything out, like pots hanging on the wall.
And there's pots on the wall, and the spoons are on the counter, like, and so on. So, bechlal, the inside is not so nice. And the Yiddish house, from the outside, looks like a charve. There's like a broken car in the front, if you're a Shivish. And
grass
is not caught. And there's like broken bike that the kids might have used last year still. And where you live is also like that. And you come inside, and it's spotless, the floor. Nothing is out of place. The counters are all clean, like pure surfaces. There's a lot of lights always. That's the chilek. And that's why is it that? Because in Gulis, the Eden don't care about chitzonius, we don't care about the external. Because we know, care that's for the guy that's going to watch. So, you know the guy, there was a Yid that when the Gevir from Shtut was passing around with his Nushtramo, and Epis Shleper said, you know, I think you should have made it a little different over there. And he was like, who are you? He said, wait, could you see your Shtramo when you wear it? No, so it's for me. Okay, I'm giving you my criticism. I think it should have been.
Very good.
So, the kid said, the Eden got very into pnimius, into this idea of internalism or interiority, which is very important. Well, we say the Welt ist chitzonius and everything. But lemaisa, not so simple. It's very easy to get into self reinforcing loops, like internal loops with all of these things. And one of the problems with being too internal is that you get in kavana, right? We have this word kavana. There's kavana and maise. Kavana is inside. Like kavana can give bli neshama. There's kavana is the inside, and maise or words are the outside, right? Now, what happens is that you get a concept of kavana or of inside, intention or interiority, which is not directed towards anything but itself. This might be a very good thing for a certain other level of ethics, which we're not discussing in this class yet. But you have to remember what the main part that we said last week is that most of the time, now we learn, Rambam talks a lot about the internal. Right? We talk about Midas. We have this big part that says it's not enough to do correct actions. You have to also be a good person, right? Which is something internal. People think that this means something that ends by the internal. An internal that is focused upon itself. It's somehow self-recursive thought. It's like looking in a mirror where you see a thousand mirrors. It keeps on telling you the same thing, just getting smaller and smaller. And therefore, people think, ah, I'm a good person. What do you mean you're a good person? Well, I don't help anyone, but I feel very much for their pain. I have a lot of empathy. And sometimes it also works. Like, I'm not going to actually give you a dollar, but like, yeah, I feel so bad for you.
I think that might be a Gauls thing, because it comes from
you don't have money.
A different past in the Jewish religion, not the Jewish religion.
We can talk about that, but that's another whole. I'm going to give you a little bit of history about this, but I think something is going on. But there's a lot. This is a very serious question. It's very deep. There's also a correct way of having that, which we'll try to discuss.
That's also a level.
Yeah. I know. I don't want to make fun of it. I just want to say, in certain contexts, at least, it's totally useless. And therefore, it's important to disambiguate when we talk about this thing. It's very important. We're not talking about actions. Right? We're talking about midas, about something internal. But our main part was to say, to clarify, that this does not mean wanting, not mean something that is focused, the intention is not towards itself, not towards having the correct feelings towards you or something like that, but it's about having the correct intention, the correct feeling, the correct emotion towards the action. Right? So we say, for example, we're going to get into all the list of virtues, the list of good middas. We have to understand that what defines the good middas is always an action. It's never an internal feeling. But the middah consists of an internal feeling, or an internal habit, or internal disposition to choose, as we've discussed last week's, right? So, for like the middah of the correct amount of, how does he call it, the generosity, the liberality, the correct amount of giving, is a middah which is about the outside. It's not about itself, right? Someone who says, I'm a generous person on the inside, but I don't actually help many people, I don't give much. There is only one way in which that can be somewhat true, and even then it's only halfway true. It can only be somewhat true in the sense where maybe you're very generous, but you have no possessions, or you have no money, or you have no capacities to share with anyone. Then you could say, well, I'm as good as I can be, but I need some external tools with which to be generous. And even then, according to Aristotle at least, you're not really generous. You're only potentially generous. But that, then you could say maybe you're a good person. But besides for that, it never means something like having the correct feelings. It only means you have to have the correct feelings. But what the definition of those feelings is, the loving, right? Generosity is not, I want to give you. It's, I love to give. Right?
And therefore, it automatically gets to action.
That's the whole point of it, right? That's why if someone says, I'm generous, and he doesn't act generously, he's lying. He's not just like, it's not possible to have a conflict between middah and there could be a conflict, but it's not the way we imagine it usually. It's not like I say, I have good on the inside, I just have some yetzer hara that makes me not do it. That doesn't really make sense.
Right, unless there's like outside ikuvim, but if there's no outside ikuvim,
it's
not
yes.
Possession.
Or unless there's some cases where, there is ways of explaining this, but
it could be the
general.
Other way around also, where the guy just gives,
yes.
His, but inside he's
for sure.
Dead. And
right. That's the normal case, because we talk about chinuch, right? We talk about educating yourself. When you start giving, you don't feel anything. You don't like it. You start doing it, and then you like it. You train yourself. So that there is such a case, of course. But
vice
still,
versa.
The liking
vice
is...
Versa.
What do you mean vice versa?
Not
really.
That you want to do it, but you don't. I mean, other than, like you said, it's not possible.
There is that. There's another way. There is something else also, but we'll get to that at some point.
Because this interaction was a bother in the past couple of weeks.
Which is?
This interaction between the two, which is something bad. It's like,
why?
I'm trying to grasp it. Like, it's slipping out of my grasp.
Explain.
Yeah, that's 6 in the morning on there.
Like this, like that. I want it to be neat. That's it. Like, neat answer.
That.
It's not so neat. But that, let's say the inside, if it's real, automatically it's the outside. But the outside, you could do the action without meeting it inside. And that doesn't have to be the case.
Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
That,
you're acting as if. You're acting as the good person would have acted.
But what's motivating that? Let's say?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, what's the question?
Like, in that sense, could you say that you want to be that type of person?
Yeah, there's the usually... The weird thing with this is Usually the answer is something like education, external education.
See, but what's motivating like education? What's motivating that? Is it that you actually love wanting to be that person, and would you say just push it back a step, or is it something else?
No, usually it's someone else telling you that the reality. In reality, and I think also, in reality, when I say in reality, I meant like in reality in the books, and also in the reality in real life.
What if you can listen to that someone else?
Well, that's a good question. But someone else
has can you always push back and just find another thing that you love? Like you love listening to authorities, so that's why you're doing it? Or you love, well, let's say not someone else, you love trying to be that type of person, even not yet that type of person.
I mean, in some sense, you could push things back in the sense of even education starts with the love of meaning, namely the love of pleasure and the aversion of pain. Right? Education educates by pleasure and pain. So everyone likes pleasure. Pleasure is just a word for what we like, in some sense. Mm-hmm. Not entirely, but in some sense. Therefore, when we educate you, also when you educate yourself, maybe, but definitely the primary case of education is when someone else educates you, then they're going to give you prizes and promise you rewards and threaten you with punishments for doing the correct thing. Then you're going to start doing them for the wrong reason, right? You see, another way of defining having them in there, being the person versus not being, is the reason you're doing it, the for, right? The good person does the good for the good reasons, which is that he loves the good, which is a good reason. The bad person, which does good things, but for the wrong reason. That's called shelo lishma in our tradition, and it's precisely this. Right? If you give tzedakah because you want to have honor, then you're doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason. So you're not really a tzedakah giver, you're really an honor looker for. And...
But then you actually start.
Slowly you're going to start liking to give it, yes. This is what I discussed a few times here. It's good to do that. That's why I'm because you don't actually and stay with the honor for the most part. At least it moves a little bit. Almost for everyone, because of how education works. Because of the power of habits and because people tend to like what they are used to, and also because you start seeing the good in it. Right? Because how do you see the good? Seeing the good as an experience. You start. How are you going to see that it's good to give? If you never, like, you never saw giving, you can see it by someone else, or you can see it by yourself, and you see how it is to give, and you start seeing that it's good, and then you start liking it. Yeah, does that make sense? Not more.
Yeah, that's what it's
just. So now we have to. What I want to do a little bit today. This is all the things that we already know, or hopefully already know. I wonder how much it helps in reality, but we already know these things. What we have to do today is talk a little bit about some specifics. That's really the next part of the course. Never-ending course. No, it's not never-ending. Never-ending is only the Yetzer Hara.
We're supposed to be up to Chassidus, like I told you about it from I said about my first like Sukkot. So I think it's like Hanukkah versus
Yom. What, like according to the next man, yeah?
What?
What do you mean you're supposed to be up to Chassidus?
In Shmai Brachim, the prayer about Chassidus, which is Parhei.
Okay.
So we're supposed to be off to it a long time ago.
Why?
That's what you were predicting, I don't know.
I don't remember.
You were very ambitious then.
Not sure I remember what you mean. But what I want to tell you is that we have to get into specifics. So the next part of the course, also this is where we're up to in Shmei Nevrukim, is going to be about working through some or all or figuring out how to decide what are the sum and the all of these good middos and seeing what they are and how to get them. At least to judge the people that don't have them. That would be more fun. So, since this week was Parshas Yisra and this week is Parshas Mishpatim, I've decided to talk a little bit about a certain mitzvah, maybe more than one mitzvah, but specifically one mitzvah that is seemingly a middah. A very explicit halacha, very explicit mitzvah that is about an internal thing. And I want to describe to you how there's different readings of it, some of which are entirely internal and they're bad, according to me, and some of which have the correct understanding, which is an internal thing that is directed towards an external action. And then the internal becomes very important because the external is caused by it. But not because it's caused by itself, not because it's turned towards itself. Okay, that's the discussion, but I will try to show you how complicated this is. So, you know already what the mitzvah is, right? It's the last one of the Ten Commandments. Aseret HaDibros. According to some people, the two last ones, but for sure the last one. And the end of the Aseret HaDibros, which is a great piece of law or literature or Musar, whatever you want to call it. Pretty nice shtickl, right?
See, Musar's not that bad.
What?
Musar's not that bad.
Who said Musar is bad? Aseret HaDibros is a pretty nice shtickl. Many people have been quite impressed by it. Right? Not our ancient teachers, may their memory be blessed. They were not very impressed by it. They were kind of against being impressed by it. Right?
Aristotle, I'm talking about? Who's your ancient teachers that were not impressed by it?
Stop saying it.
Ten commandments.
Not exactly.
What?
The rabbis of the Mishnah and the Talmud were not impressed by the Ten Commandments. They did not make a big deal out of it. They even said that you should not, that it might have been a nice idea. Some of Pekarsim said that the main thing is the Ten Commandments, and they said it's not. You should not make a big deal of it. Whenever they say something like this, like a Pekarsim say that, that means like there's a good reason to think that, but it's wrong. Right? You could always say it's just external, just because it's like... Or in Krishna, right? Don't read it. Don't repeat it twice a day. Or don't put it in your mezuzah, as others did. Right? We could have a different interpretation of this, where it's just totally political. Like, don't wear the hat, because they wear the hat. But it seems to me more that this is a real opposition between some...
You think it's not just because it leads to an imbalance?
And it's the
an imbalance.
What do you mean?
It means that let's say Shema is very general. It doesn't have this issue. When you elevate certain specific mitzvahs, even if maybe they should be elevated, they are not elevated too much at the expense of everything else. So it's an imbalance of how. Meaning they should be somewhat.
That's what they said. More. That's what they said. The rabbis that said this were opposed to making the mitzvahs into a logical system. I think that this is very related. This is going to be another whole shiur, so I can't get into it. Very related to people later, like Rabbi Yitzchak Abravanel being opposed to Yilkom Ikrim and the Holy Chassam Sefer and others. Because there is a kind of rationalization, making sense of things. Like, we have this whole Torah, it's very big, it's long, it's five long books. Relatively long books, I mean. And there's a six Sidra Mishnah and all of that. And what is this? Right? A ger once came to Hillel and Shammai and told him to teach him the whole Torah on one foot. And Shammai gave him the traditional answer. Get out of my life. Right? That's the traditional answer to someone who tells you, what is Judaism? Drop dead. I mean, what is Judaism? I don't know. Said in the Mismedesh for 35 years, maybe you'll know. What is this all about? Right? Very traditional. Hillel was nicer, so he said, you know what, I could speak to you in your language too. Judaism is about being good to your fellow man. But that was just him sort of acquiescing to that guy's framing. Doesn't mean that Hillel really thought that. It's explicitly framed this story as Hillel being nicer. It's not framed as Hillel having a better theology. Right? There was just a different guy who was Hillel's contemporary who did seriously think that. But that's not what Hillel thought.
Was it Menachem?
I think Hillel did exactly what Shammai did, just in a more diplomatic way. That's what I think.
No, Hillel did tell him something. There is some very important point that I've heard from my teacher about. What was his name? One of my living teachers.
Basically,
said that everyone said that Hillel said the whole Torah is v'achta rachik ma'acha, and the rest is commentary. That's what everyone says. It says in English, but the Gemara doesn't say that. What does it say? No, I was saying, whatever. Very good. What does it say? Very good. And now for the rest, come to the sheep tomorrow. It doesn't say, and then the rest is commentary. Right? So what he didn't say go away from here. He said he did give him some kind of clout, but he didn't say that the Torah consists of elaborating this clout, elaborating this generalization. What he said was that there is something simple, I should tell you. You'll finish with this. It's more like I told you the story of the square in Eva. That's what you're interpreting it, right?
The
Skver Rebbe, Chanan Levruch, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Twersky, some students came to him. They heard that he's a Chassidish Rebbe, a real Chassidish Rebbe. They wanted to know what Chassidus is. They said they're going to write it up in their newspaper. So he said, well, firstly, Chassidus is not reading newspapers. But then they said, okay, so we won't write it in the newspaper. We'll just really want to know. They said, no problem. Come to my office, I'll tell you. And he came, and he told them, look, we have a tradition that we only teach you the second thing after you understand and internalize the first thing. So I'll tell you the first lesson. When you finish understanding it and internalizing it, you'll come back, I'll continue. First lesson of Chassidus is that everything is by Hashgacha Pratis. Now, goodbye. Come back when you understood. What am I saying? That's what Hillel said, right? The first lesson is like love. Love. Don't do what your friend does. You figured out this, come back. Let's see. And the guy never came back. Okay, so
very good. This guy came to see some ecstasy.
If you want to speak, you have to speak into the mic, because.
Okay, so. I think what happened was that this guy was looking for ecstasy, like a lot of people, right? When they're finding religion.
Back in the camera.
They're finding religion, yeah. So they come and they're like, oh, whatever. They think this is the zach, yeah.
No.
So they think like they caught God in a bottle. So they ask, oh, what's this? So Hashem is like, are you crazy or something? Get out of here. This is not our religion. We're not into these CGBG, some ecstasy stuff.
No.
So then he went to Hillel, and Hillel told him, oh, Father, same thing. He answered exactly what Shammai did, just in a much more diplomatic way. He said the most basic, simple human thing.
Okay. You invented a whole story about ecstasy and all of that, which is not.
Why is this guy shiga that he's all of a sudden turning into a Jew? Like, what's the two hands saying?
Okay. Now you asked a good question, but you're mentoring. Okay, let's move on. Point is, very nice Torah, thank you, Shabari, very nice Torah. Now, if anyone else has a word to say, otherwise we can continue. What I was saying is that our rabbis were kind of opposed, our rabbis, some of them, later, they were, even though in ancient times there were rabbis that were doing this, but the rabbis of whose words were written down in the Mishnah and the Talmud were not very big fans of doing this kind of rationalization, where you find like this is the one rule, everything follows from it. They were kind of opposed to it in many different ways. They did it, of course, because there's no such thing as learning without doing that. That's what understanding is finding generalizations and forms. But they were opposed to doing too much of it. And by the way, our teacher Aristotle was also opposed to it. That's why he was not so happy with certain Platonists. And that's another shtickle title that I have, but it's enough for now. And therefore, Aseres Adibris was understood very ancient times already as being some kind of 10 generalizations, 10 principles, right? Kind of the concept of principles, arche in Greek, which is what all the Greeks are always looking for. And they said these are the principles of the Torah, everything else follows from them. Our rabbis were like, nah, yeah, nice things, not against them, it might be very important. Principles? I don't know. How about knowing the exact amount of amas that you have to put wheat from a vineyard from? Do you know that? Seems important.
That's the principle that everything else is built off.
No, it's important. It's just as important. So they were not fans of this. And they were very afraid of people simplifying Judaism, like the Sefer said. Why do we have such long books? We could write a little small book called the Catechism. How do they call it? The Catholic thing. This is what you got to know to be a Jew. No, it doesn't work like this. You got to live a life. Of course, there's some principles, but you can't make it into a principle. Sometimes you take it out of the life. That's, I think, the real criticism. It's like someone says, what is the Yisod of Chassidus? Yisod of Chassidus is to come every week to the Rebbe's Tish, or whatever, to hang out. What is the teaching of Yitzhak Lor? There's no teaching of Yitzhak Lor. I hope not. The teaching is you come every week to the Shir, and slowly you start having that kind of a mind that understands things in that way. You start living that kind of life that lives that way, and so on. There isn't like a teaching which can be bottled in a bottle and sent on the ocean. Maybe someone will find it. That's not how the Torah works. I think that's the main reason that they were opposed to this. Because it's like this turns into something that can be bottled into a little bottle. and then sent down along the ocean, and then some get finds it, and it becomes, creates a new religion because it's based on the same principles, and you go there and you talk to the guy, and like, he's doing all kind of weird things. And like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I went with your principles. That's the real, that's how I understand the position to principles. But what am I, how am I, what am I talking to you about now? Oh, but other people were very impressed by this, said Dibris, and they did think as principles. And obviously the Chumash itself seems to think that, because otherwise what's the point of this whole story? So maybe it's a machloek is the Medrash and the Pusik. And it's repeated twice. I mean, it seems to have been some, like, I don't think there's even one other thing. There's, I mean, there's many repetitions in Mishnah Torah, but almost word for word repetition. There's 20 words difference or something like that. There isn't anything else like that. It's obviously something seen as central already in the Chumash itself. Of course, in Tanakh it's not mentioned even one more time, but anyways. In the Chumash it's mentioned twice, so it seems to be important. Now, this is Eretz Dibris, I think that it's important. I mean, in other words, I think it's very nice Shtikl Torah. And who was the first one to say that the Eretz Dibris are the principles? Who, I don't know, the first one to say, the first one to write that the Eretz Dibris are principles for all the mitzvahs?
Sadi.
Thank you very much, I'm before him.
That's what Rasha brings.
Of course, Rasha brings that. Before him, there was a Jew, not long before him. Centuries before him.
Oh, that Gemara with Chizkiyah, Vamidan Alachas, that Gemara?
That was not with Hasser Sadibris, you
no,
see?
No, no, he's Vamidan Alachas. What's before that?
Why did I file this? I just bought file this week, so forgive me for not being off this week.
Okay, very good.
So Ushtak file them in the Gemara there. By
it doesn't say Hasser Sadibris. And that whole Gemara in Makas, Hasser Sadibris are not one of them.
He mixes up the order one, right?
Not sure. Rav Philo was a Yid in the times of the Tanoim. Called by Rabbi Menachem Azaria Yedidia, which is a cute translation of Philo. Aval, Philo, who was a good Jew, he wrote a book called The Ten Commandments, or something like that, and then wrote a book on the details of the commandments, and there's a long book, it's like three volumes in the translation. And all of this is describing how the Ten Commandments include all the mitzvahs, and then going into detail and explaining all the mitzvahs as they are coming out of the Ten Commandments. So he was the one that invented this. And, like many other things, somehow magically, all the later, what we call medieval rationalists and medieval mystics, all people that were trying to interpret the Torah in some kind of language similar to what Father was doing, all ended up saying the same exact things as him. But I don't think it's because, I mean, some people would say they must have stolen it somehow, like there was some manuscript somewhere, which is also possible. There is some kind of genealogy that leads from Philo to Rav Sadia and so on. But nobody could really trace the books, but there is something like that. The Rambam himself thinks something like that in his very famous history of thought in Perikai and Aleph. But also, of course, Philo was just learning from Plato, and Plato learned from Yirmiyah. Anyways. But also, It's kind of obvious, right? I think the better pshat is that this is pretty obvious. Like if you read the Torah, it's already midrashim that show you how, like Parshas Kedoshim or Parshas Mishpatim are interpretations of Aser Sadibris. It's not something that Philo and Harley invented. It's just like
the pattern, I'm sure he has.
Yeah, no, the Rishalmi says that Kriyashma is Aser Sadibris. These are things that are in midrash also. So it's not like he entirely invented the idea, but he very much formalized it and saw it this way. Okay, so now the Eretz Dibris is a very nice text. And what's interesting is, you read the Eretz Dibris? It's got only 10 things. Very nice round number 10, very important number. There's different ways of making it into 10, but it for sure has 10 things. All of them are very simple, right?
Simple in what term, what way?
Says Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra, all of the Seder Sadibris are things that we don't need lights and sirens to know, besides for one. Remember Hashem made his whole pyrotechnic show, where he like lit up a mountain in fire and descended upon it with his chariot, that's what it says in Tehillim, and made the whole world silent, and spoke Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then said, something like you claim Hill was doing to make fun of us, and said, I please don't murder anyone. I beg you. And everyone was like, good thought, God. Thank you so much. Thank you for the Yud Var Torah coming out past the soup. And then they had the cheesecake because they didn't know how to shecht anything. Gosh, I'm getting into this rhetorical mood. So, says Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra, all of the sides of the sides for one are obvious things that every person in the world agrees to. Which one doesn't they agree to? Or that they don't disagree with? That needs an explanation. Which one? Matt? No. Which one? Okay, just a bit thick.
Shabbos.
Shabbos, yeah.
And I go Shabbos.
Why not swearing in Hashem's name?
If there's Hashem. Now, of course, you might not know that there's a God. But after you know that there's a God, then not swearing in His name falsely is pretty obvious. But there's only one thing that you would not know if not nobody would tell you. And you know how I know that my understanding is correct? That this is the only thing that needs an explanation?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know?
It says that's spoken in it.
Thank you very much. Because the pasuk itself thinks so. When it says, Amech Hashem Elokecha, well, it gives you a threat. It does give you like a key. It says, please don't have any other gods because don't you dare, don't even think about it.
The Rambam has a funny line about that, to make sure. The reason is, like it says in the Pasuk, like he's like, he's a little bit...
Where? Not sure what you mean. V'aranoichi lo'elecha ki anoichi elkana. Okay. But basically because I am the only one. Okay. Lo'esiso ki lo'enaka Hashem. Also, because God will be very mad, but it's understandable why He will be mad, right? Very good. Zohar Sema Shabbos Lakatcha. Everyone's like, what? What's this Shabbos thing? By the way, they already knew. You know how they knew, right?
They kept it in Mitzrayim.
In Mitzrayim? We're reading the Pusik and Mudu, right? Shai Shisim Til Ketiv. There was the ready Shabbos. But anyways, and Hashem told, you know why? They were like, why? What's this thing about Shabbos? Oh, Kishai Shisim Osa Hashem Osa Shema V'yem Rashvi Shavuz V'yenach V'yem Hashvi. Thank you very much. Now we understand why. And then he moved on. Kab Desavicha V'smech. You know why? Yeah, that's... Doesn't say key, right? It says the man. Will be nice. We'll give you schar, but really obvious. Then he said another five things, all of which don't even have that level of explanation. You don't even need a threat or a promise from God to do them, right? Lo yitirtzach. Why? Ki lo ki misheritzach. He's gonna go to Canaan. No, lo yitirtzach. That's where it ends. Lo yitinaf. Lo yitignaif. Lo yisad evreach lo yitchoker. All these things, they're self-explanatory. And if someone says, "Lo yitirtzach ki lo yinaka Hashem asher yirtzach v'shmo yechvesnish," then he ruined it. Because lo yitirtzach is self-explanatory. If I tell you lo yitirtzach, you right away say, yeah, that makes sense. Now I want to tell you something.
One second.
Can I say
lo yitirtzach actually, I think they say that it's...
What?
That it's
can
I
say
lo
yitirtzach shavar?
No, they said the Azhar is from lo yitirtzach, right? But the Vatik is already in the...
Yatam
Yanefesh. So it's really, it is already...
Elamai the Torah made it, Pashat. The fact that the Torah wrote it. That's what makes it so fashion.
I'll tell you the part in the
yeah, but then what's with the other stuff?
That's what Reb Chaim Brisker said, literally.
Oh, he
know,
really said
I
that?
I know, I know. Yeah, Baba. The suits off. Yeah,
your AI is working well.
AI? My AI?
Yes. I said it's a little short, but it's not a little short. Listen.
No, because...
Ani yazbillach, Echem. It's very important to realize. This, when you want to understand... What is the great thing? I think that it's great. This is really great. Because my sheet, most of the time, it's not like once I told you, it's like, yeah, it's self. Just saying it explains it. Usually it's like, well, I think he said it. Maybe he knows what he's talking about. So I might take it seriously. Or, you know, he had a good raya from the Rambam. So maybe it's good. And so on. That's why whenever I tell you something, usually it's not called Dvar Hashem. You don't say, wow, God himself came down and with his chariot and told us this. When someone says something that is so obvious, when I say obvious, I don't mean that you knew it before. Because it's not, I don't think it's true that everyone knew before Leif Tzitzit. When I said Leif Tzitzit doesn't need explanation, I don't mean, unlike Rav Sadigon who said it the wrong way, I don't mean that everyone knew that Natakel. You know how I know that not everyone knew that? Yeah, they've done that since forever. Then the first, second guy in the humanity, according to the story of Parshas Bereishit, was a murderer. Obviously, he didn't think that it's obviously wrong to kill. Of course, in some sense, he did, because the story continues with Hashem telling him, what's going on with you? But, not that obvious. But okay. When I tell you...
Okay, so that's only the first person. What about the 10th and 20th and 30th person?
They found out. They found out.
So
you could find this out. That's what I'm trying to say. They're not innate in the sense that you can't find that out. It's simple in the sense that if I tell it to you, then you're like, wow, you told me something true. You see, there's a big difference between me telling you something and it being something you already knew. And that's why it's simple. Like, thank you very much. Obvious. And me telling you something that you only know because I told you. Or at least maybe you only know it because I told you. But when I tell it to you, you don't go around saying, I know it because Yitzchak told me. Or even because he proved it to me. Or even because he made me a moifes, he made the Kodesh Lebes Medrash move, and that's how I know it. He told me something that is as clear as the seven heavens opening up and the earth opening up.
Why did you use that mushal?
It's not a mushal, it's an imshal tzaddik.
For the clear part.
That's what clarity is.
The seven heavens
exactly.
Opening up?
Yeah.
I'm not
hopping
the difference.
Oh, got it. Uh-huh.
I'm not hopping the difference. So what? So therefore,
what I'm trying to say is that if you say, Lo Yizirtzach is simple, we don't need God to come down in heaven to say that. That's nonsense. It might be it's simple in the sense that when it's told to you, it's its own proof. But it's not simple in the sense that everyone knows it. It's not true that everyone knows it. I know a bunch of people that don't know it. And even more people literally don't know it. In other words, they never heard of the problem. We say know it, but they have a Yetzer Hara to kill someone. That's the one thing, then you already know it. Maybe. But there's many people, and I show you this, many cultures even, or many generations, who don't know it. Once you make this a rule, in other words, let's think, I could get into very deep about this and talk about like the Rambam's criticism of Rav Sadia for saying that the mitzvah sichli is, because there's no such thing as anything sichli in the Odom Hazeh. Sichli is only God and his angels. That's what the Rambam said, right? Therefore, they can't be mitzvah sichli because only God himself and his angels are sichli. But
are they talking at each other there?
There are other principles.
The Holy Rambam in Perek, in our book that we're reading, in Perek, Vov says, Rav Sadia Gaon said nonsense. He said that there are mitzvah sechlis. There's no mitzvah sechlis. That's what the Holy Rambam said.
So what are
they? I'm telling you right now.
No,
but
I mean, they use the word sechlis in the same way.
No, they're using it in the same way. And the Rambam thinks that... Now I'm telling you to believe me because I don't have patience to show you all the proofs, but these are things that say...
Because the Rambam also says that the Lamas is all sechlis. No. The thing is chayk.
No, exactly. So that's the other way. But that's not why. The Rambam was upset at Rav Sadia for saying sechlis. As I was upset that Rav Sadia for saying, then he would be upset at him for saying Shemiyas. It's not what it's not, it's the opposite. The Rambam was upset that Rav Sadia for saying Sichli because he thinks that Rav Sadia doesn't understand what Seichel means. He thinks that anything that sounds reasonable is Seichel.
Oh, okay.
Sounding reasonable is not Seichel. Sounding reasonable is, in other words, the question that the Sadiqs are answering, at least the second part of them, is not the question of what the truth is. There isn't any truth anywhere that says he shouldn't kill anyone. Or at least not in a simple sense. In some complex sense, yes. Because that's why we say that God said listen. But in a simple sense, there isn't. But if I'll tell you how it's simple. It's simple
it's
in the sense. Exactly. It's simple in the sense of the answer to the question, which most people should have, which is what would be a good rule for putting on our Aron Kodesh in our shul? Right? What would be a good rule for organizing my society? That's the question. And now, that for that kind of question, I could tell you it's a good rule because an angel came and told me that. That would be one way of making good rules. I could tell you it's a good rule because if I'll explain you at length that the free market is a good thing because where Milton Friedman said and he wrote a book and then someone else wrote a different book but turns out that he was right because he made a long experiment and he showed you all of this. Okay, I might be convinced. But that's not self-explanatory. And not self-evident. Self-evident things, if someone calls and says, you've got a question, like, how should you live your life? How should you relate to other human beings? Let me tell you, don't murder. And everyone says, that's a good rule. And maybe I didn't think of it before. First I thought maybe we should go on around murdering and whoever's the greatest murderer should win. I don't know. I didn't realize. But once you told me the rule, it's very obvious. It's obvious in the sense that it explains itself. It doesn't need more explanation. It's a really good proposal.
Is it
there were Eslav that said it's not a good proposal, but normal but people think that it's a good proposal.
What's the thought process before that? Before someone tells you that, I'm not
You're all two good people. I don't have courage to the good distribution. Now we are all two nice people that think that murdering is bad.
Is it because it's a better rule of thumb than the other ones? Because the other ones also might be true. What's it? Because they're not really categorically different. Let's you make a rule like how you said how to make Aron Kodesh.
No,
they're
same.
They're in the same cat, right? They're not categorically different. Those two things: don't kill and
no. I said you should put it in Aron Kodesh. I said you should hang it up in Aron Kodesh.
Whatever other general you can have that's not going to blow the.
What did the first murderer think when he did?
What's wrong?
No, what?
Could you explain me what's wrong with murder?
Exactly. So then, why are you saying that when I say like it's a whole ton, it becomes very clear.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're saying. Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with murder. How about that?
Ah, very nice. So now that I told you that you shouldn't murder.
Yeah.
And I don't tell you that you shouldn't murder. I say nobody should murder, right? Now, you right away think that's a good rule.
Why?
Why is it a good rule?
I think maybe it's a terrible rule.
Explain.
Explain? Look at
No, I can't explain. If you're going to start explaining, then we're not talking about this.
What? I think society would be amazing if you weed out the bad.
We're always talking about bad people.
Bad is
murder means good people. No. Murder doesn't mean... This is just translation issue. Like, Tzertzach means don't kill anyone who's not deserved to die.
What does deserve mean?
Ah, good question. We'll find that in next week's parsha.
You're not saying anything here.
Saying something very simple. Murder, by definition, means an unjustified murder.
I know.
So when you say you can justify a bunch of murders, you're not talking to me. You're talking to someone else. Some Parshas Mishpatim talks about that.
I don't mean a justified murder in what you say bad. When I say bad, I mean like a goat and a lion. That's what I mean bad. In other words, I need to eat.
Those murders are not justified.
Those are justified for the lion. That's very justified.
No.
Why not? What do you mean? He needs to survive, and this is how you survive.
Very good. For lions, it's good. And for human beings, it's not good.
I want to murder the whole block and take all the money.
For human beings, it's not good. And I'm just telling you that, you see that it's not good.
Why
you didn't think
good?
You thought it would be a good idea.
I think it's an awesome idea.
Okay.
Why not?
No problem. I'm not going to have an argument with you.
I don't understand. What are you clarifying?
I think you're playing a game with me.
I'm really not playing a game. Meaning, I'm trying to tell you that there was such an understanding that Tzirtzach was good.
There was not an understanding. You keep on thinking there's an understanding. We all have this weird, funny way of thinking that people that don't understand things. It's a big mistake. Gosh, I could talk to you about this for 500 years. Listen to me. Listen to me if I get you. Listen to me. Never listen to me, but listen to me.
No.
You keep on thinking that revelation is something that comes to go against something that someone thought otherwise. Nobody thinks things otherwise.
You said that. I didn't say that. You said that. You said the guy came down and said, "Lo, it's a whole sudden it was very clear to them."
Exactly.
Something that wasn't clear to them before.
Exactly.
Okay, so they
not
clarify
clear.
Or something.
Not being clear doesn't mean that you thought a nice Torah why murder would be good.
No, what
it means that, I don't know, nobody
considered it.
You can't even imagine this because you're so... Baruch Hashem, so Jewish, so from, so
the...
much, and you, by the way, just to be very clear, you are so convinced by this revelation,
there's so many things that we think about.
You were so convinced by this revelation, that whenever I tell you, someone thought something differently, you start imagining these fancy, weird, shtiglech toira, but I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you in the way, like, imagine someone comes, I can't even tell it to you, because it's very hard to imagine a different world. I can tell, like, something like, imagine someone, like, I'll give you an example. Think about a technical invention.
When you say that you killed the
Ishmael
of murder, that's the problem.
No, I'll tell you. I'll give you an example. Okay, exactly. We did, in some sense.
In some sense,
I said,
yeah.
I'll give you, not entirely, but in the sense of, in the moral sense. I'll give you an example. Do you know that someone invented the wheel? What did they think before? Did they think that, I can tell you what they think, by the way, but it would be an explanation, but I've thought about this, by the way. I was trying to figure this out once. And you have to understand that this explanation is not an explanation that he didn't disprove it, and you can't disprove it. He invented a wheel, and now nobody, no normal person uses anything besides for wheels anymore. Right? What do the people think? You know that wheels are a weird thing? Like, what's a wheel? You ever heard this concept like the invention of a wheel? Like, what does it mean to invent a wheel? What does a wheel do well?
Rolls.
Okay, now let's think. Tell me, I have to schlep a chair over ground. Should that be the chair? Okay, and if I make it something that turns, what? Can you explain me how a wheel works? Cycle dick. Left side going cycle, right? Give me the svura. Why does a wheel make it life easier for me? I've got a schlep stuff.
Circle of motion. Instead of picking up a chair, it helps me drag it.
No, you don't have to pick it up, you can drag the chair. And the wheel, you're also dragging it, by the way.
It's hard to drag it over ground. It's not
okay,
going smoothly.
And why would a wheel make it easier to drag
it? You pick it up with a horse, and the horse is much
The horse is not the invention of a wheel. I'm talking about a wheel. A wheelbarrow,
but
okay?
Think
about a wheelbarrow.
Allows for things to
move easily.
Explain me how. Why would anyone think that?
I'll explain to you.
Yeah.
When you roll like a wheelbarrow, right?
Patrick, don't imagine a wheelbarrow and tell me how it works. Tell me, I never heard of a wheel. Explain to me why I should start putting wheels on my stuff. I understand very well. It's hard to schlep things. You take a horse and you schlep it. Explain to me. What is it hard?
With
there's
round
earth.
It's much harder. With round thing, it's much easier.
Tzadik, you look like a mina pshita,
I hear what you're saying.
Right? A mina pshita, I also use wheels, and I believe you in that sense. But you can't, it's very easy. It's not, there's not a svura here. By the way, there's taken out a svura. To understand the svura, you need to learn some physics and mechanics and stuff. Yeah, I'm explaining you something simple. Do you know that when you schlep your wheel, you're also doing the same schlepping as before? Think about it. How is it less schlepping? I'm not schlepping less. You don't have to carry things without wheels. You have to schlep them along the ground. Okay, so schlep it. Now, yeah, put a wheel. So it's something I may turn when I schlep it. Who cares if it turns? Shachris, how does it help?
Okay, well, fine.
You have my kasha?
I have your kasha, but it's in a very... Right, like you're basically trying to tell me that you have to go back. Like,
you have to go back. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to tell you.
These things.
No, it's not. By the way, nowadays also, it's a very serious, sincere question. Not a serious, but it's a good question. You should go ask your physics teacher how wheels work. Because it's not obvious. You don't know the answer. How do wheels work? Maybe you do, because you've happened to have learned it. But it's not simple. You need a lot of work to figure out how wheels work. How do wheels work?
Yeah, by the way, this is what I meant. Just get the wheel. Don't figure out about
that. Wait, so
just
what I'm trying to tell you is now something else. Now, when a guy made a wheel, you don't have to explain how it works, but when a guy invented a wheel, right, it was obvious that a wheel is better than the not wheel. Okay? Now, what did they think before that? Well, I could tell you, if you want, I could give you this like weird sweater. Why they think, well, it's just, I could even give you like in a physical explanation. You know, it's there's how do you call it? There's tension, not tension. How's it called?
Friction.
A wheel has just as much friction, so therefore it should be the same. You're touching the ground the whole time. The wheel doesn't make you pick up. You never go off the ground. If you would fly, I can understand it's easier, because air seems to be easier to move through than earth. But as long as you're schlepping along the ground, who cares if it's turning or not? I don't see the difference. That's what they thought before. Until the guy invented a wheel, and he saw that there's some difference, even if he didn't know how to explain it theoretically, maybe they did, there's some difference. When it turns, somehow it doesn't. There's not that much friction. There's some difference. Now that's what they thought, but that's not true. Because then someone could argue with you. Let's say it would be a theoretical thing. Someone could argue with you. No, the wheel adds problems. Because now you have by the way, it does add some problems. You've got to have an axle. You got to figure out how to make it spin freely and so on. No, what happened was nobody thought of a wheel. And by the way, you would never have thought of it also. You just received it by Masada. Thank you very much. You never thought of how to make wheels. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something as simple as that would make you be able to fly without a... engine without an airplane that you just didn't think of. Like you tried to go on an airplane. No, just walk two steps forward and one like this and you fly. I don't know. How does it work? The physics, the chach, the side doesn't really figure out how it works. You just never thought of it because it sounds crazy. Like, why would you think about it? Right? Now, there's also moral inventions or social inventions that are the same. It's not like they thought that murder was good, like some weird anti-moralist could come up with a theory. That you could come up with such theories, but after someone discovered that, then you could say, you know what? I've read that the some government people decided that square wheels might work better than round wheels for some purposes. Or triangle wheels. I don't know. Because think about it. Triangles should be even better, right? If the least... Yeah, right? It's different for different reasons, but what do you mean, why? You got to minimize touching the earth. So if it's triangle, you can only touch the point. So a wheel works in a more complicated way than I pretended before. Okay, in any case, what I'm trying to tell you is triangles are better than wheels. Anyways, what I'm trying to tell you is, think about it.
I think you're explaining it. I think you're explaining the curse of being a Jew is that you can never not be a Jew because you always do the things they're doing. Like they just never consider this.
Right. I'm just describing to you how these things are great inventions. So great that... They show themselves by being invented or being revealed. It's not clear that you can get to it by reasoning yourself into it. Maybe you could you could find reasons for it afterward, but it's not clear. That's why I say I don't think it's correct even to say that things like Sitzach Lissinaf are reasonable. in the sense that Rav Sadia thought, that everyone thinks them. Everyone thinks them after they were invented and told to you, and he's like, obviously we should be doing that, what we were thinking until now. The answer is that we weren't thinking, or we weren't thinking about this question even. Even just making it into a question is already a great revelation. As like, you see how hard of a time I have making some simple things into questions. And that's what it means that we said, now, this is a good thing, understand? That's why the Torah says, talks about God revealing himself on Har Sinai and telling us these 10 simple things. It doesn't tell us complicated things. Like if we say God told us that Hashem is Sachar, is Pitter from Chayiv, but Gnaiv, that Hashem Echilam is Chayiv, the opposite, or whatever, we're like, okay, reasonable, but like, it's not obvious. It's not like something that I tell it to you, like, wow, that's the only way I could live from now on. No, it's not the only way you could live from now on. I could still have a life in which Hashem Echinam is the one that is Chayiv, but Gnaiv, but Hashem Sachar is Pitter. And I can even give you a theory for why. Not so. What's going on? I keep on touching this thing.
But a wheel, right?
Yeah.
That was never... There was no concept, right? But murder, there was for sure a concept because it's happened, right? So
the concept of murder is not the concept of me cutting off my brother's head.
Now I'm lost.
Very good. That was the point.
Yeah, because that could just be like for a justified reason.
No! You're already answering the question of justification.
Cutting off a brother's head could have been for justification.
No, that's not murder.
Exactly.
Before you heard of the idea of murder, it's not murder because I think he deserves it. It's not murder because, I don't know, the guy was in my way, so I cut off his hand. What's it got to do with murder? Who gave me this concept? Yeah, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Okay, got it.
You never heard, nobody heard of Tirzach. Loi Tirzach assumes that there's Tirzach. But before the loy tirtzach, tirtzach really just means something that's loy, just what I'm trying to say. There's no tirtzach that is ken. Mm-hmm. By the way, even justified, that's why I told you this point, and I didn't make it up. But literally, I think the Targum translates loy tirtzach as something like don't kill someone who's, I don't remember. Someone literally translates it that way already.
So what did the people before think and killing is? What's killing? What does killing mean?
Killing and murder are not the same thing.
So they're not the same thing.
No, killing is just me getting rid of a problem. Is me moving a chair a problem? Is it a kind of thing that I have to justify? I don't know. The chair was there, and I wanted to be here. The guy was in my way. I pushed him out of my way. It's very good. I don't want you to think otherwise. Please, it's very good. I'm just trying to tell you that this is why this is called a revelation, because it's something that was told. It's simple. Itself shows itself to be true. True in the sense of a good way to live, not in the sense of being an absolute truth. And that's all.
Revealed to you murder. That's the yisod. Lo yisod reveals to you murder.
Well, murder is a thing that you don't do as well.
And now, same thing with Tinaf and Tigmaid
and Tachmaid. We'll talk about Tachmaid. Oh, gosh. Maybe we won't. Anyways, that's the Nikida. Yichap. The only thing that is not like that is Shabbos, and therefore it gave you the reason. Maybe even in some sense you could say something like resting is not a an explanation, when on a certain day needs an explanation. That's really what the explanation gives you, right? You notice that the explanation of Shabbos doesn't tell you why to rest. Right? Only tells you why to rest on the seventh day. Because why to rest is obvious. I'll give you a day off if you don't ask me questions. It's only that if I tell you, well, you should have your day off exactly every seventh day. Okay, well, why not? Why not every sixth day? Oh, I'll tell you why. So anyways, I'm not going to get into what I wanted to get to.
Oh,
I'm not going to go on for 2 hours now. It's 10:28, according to my weird timekeeping machine. You know how it works? What does it mean? Okay. So
that's what we need to get to.
Now, I want to tell you something here. Now, this is something now that you understand, is this true? So anyways, all the Sash Debris are revelatory. And I think that, by the way, you asked me before, like, where things start, like, where education starts. Something's, at least there's a theory that says that we need these kind of stories of revelation, that we need revelation, stories of revelation, because there isn't really a way to get there otherwise.
You said this, everyone has a lawgiver.
Yeah. So now, we read these 10 things. Like I said, Anoichi v'Leilecha are theological things. They make sense given the Anoichi. That maybe isn't obvious unless you see it, but it's given that way. Kabbalah Zvichah V'Samecha nobody disagrees with, besides for the 60s revolution.
Which is
Kabbalah Zvichah V'Samecha.
You
also right.
You'd also only consider it because you had the first one, right?
Yeah, it's a merida, exactly. It's an inversion.
It's not a lacking of it. It's not a...
I agree. It's an inversion.
Goodness,
the worst, the even worse situation is that you don't even need that. That's where we're up to now. But just kind of naturally, we revert to that because that's really how the world works. Right, Shabbos, simple, leitik, tzach, leitinach, leitignoth, leisana, v'reacha, chuk, all these things, they're also extremely obvious. And by being extremely obvious, they're also extremely basic. Now we can talk about the concept of them being basic, right? They're extremely basic by being extremely obvious, right? We build everything, all the questions, in a certain sense, all the questions that we have, all the more complicated things, which are not such a direct revelation, are more complicated because there are ways of putting together these things, right? There sort of isn't any halacha in the whole Torah, at least in the whole Mishpatim, yeah, that isn't a detail in one of these things. I think that's correct, right? Some of these, when you read these, like people doing this, some of them are forced. But they're only forced in the sense of like trying to say, oh, that says that includes all the mitzvahs. But if I ask you something like, why is there even a question of... Tell me a question. Tell me a question from the parasha. A lot of questions. Hashem Echem and Hashem Esach, why is there such a question? Why would anyone, like, what's it based on?
You can't steal?
Yeah. And all both that it's based on the signet or some. We could argue if it would be Tignoth, if Mamesh, if you take it, whatever. But
Shem V'Rego.
What?
Shem V'Rego.
It's a kind of the Tignoth also. What do you mean? You were, it's a tort. You broke my thing. You took something away from me in some way.
Yeah.
We get... Yeah. I mean, but that's the basic thing. It's like, the Tignoth just says, something that is me, don't take it away. Now, how is it, what is it yours? All the Kenyanim are just answering the question of what the signet is. Oh, well, to what extent is it your problem? All these questions are just... the basic sense of them is just like signet. There isn't anything else basic in them. There's a lot of detail, a lot of... The world is very complicated.
So the signet also introducing ownership, or that precedes that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you would just...
I don't know about introducing historically, but it's...
I mean,
you could imagine, just like I told you this whole issue about Leitirtzach, you could imagine a word which later doesn't make any sense.
Josephus seems to blame Cain for this, for
ownership existing.
Like boundaries of ownership.
Yeah, in some sense, but I just tried to establish these things. These are more complicated than I said, that they've cemented them. But it's an obvious thing, it's a tautology almost. Like, what is not yours doesn't belong to you. That's what the signet says, right? And all the different questions are based on this. And we can understand, therefore, why anyone would put in the Aseret HaDibros and put it there, right? Mm-hmm. Now we got to the last one. And it says, Leis Achmed. I have two questions. Firstly, it doesn't say Leis Signo if just like, and stops. It goes on and on. It even repeats itself. What? Why shouldn't it say? Lo yisignav shorei v'chamoyer shoreiach ve'avdei v'amosei ve'al kol dvar pesha al chamoyer al shorei al se'al sa'al al kol dvar deshev. No, lo yisignav. It's as simple as that, right? What's with lo yisachmoyer? Not simple. In the luchas, they always write, make it as if it's simple, but it's not, right? There's a long list, and it even says twice. There's two of them.
Right.
So something is weird.
Very weird.
Ah, that's one weirdness. Second weirdness is that I don't even know what it means. And because I don't even know what it means, I definitely don't know why it's simple. Like, it seems to me that I could have made 9 dibris and everyone would be happy. If I would miss Lysinov or Lysignov or Lysetzach, or even like Shabbos or Lysesso, people would like, that's weird. You're missing something basic. Hopefully. Maybe afterwards. It's basic. Before not. But you can understand. But even afterwards, if I take out Lis Ahmed, I have a version I found in the Ksaviyat. It doesn't have Lis Ahmed. Oh, makes sense. Yeah, it solves a lot of problems. It solves more problems than it caused. Nobody knows what Lis Ahmed is. It's all fine. We're happy now.
Can Lis Ahmed be like a synopsis of it all?
It could be. I think it is. Not a synopsis. Something to do with it all. So, Rabbi Yisrael, we got to discover, this is Ibn Ezra's question. I didn't make any of these questions. They're all basic questions. So, we have to understand, I'm going to give you the answer that Ibn Ezra gave, or some of his answer. It must be that we're learning Shemayna Perukim. Remember, we discovered where I started. We started about how there's external actions like Tignoif, Tirtzach, Tinoch, Taneh, Saneh, never says Taneh. Which are things that you do that are bad, things that you do to other people specifically that are bad. Remember we said that it's not enough to not steal. You have to be a nishganef. Interesting thing. You never heard of this, right? The Balamusa don't really talk about this, do they? Because they're somewhat a little bit too caught up in interiority that doesn't refer to anything. But they do think, say things like you shouldn't have kina. Right? Don't be jealous. Which is just a way of saying don't be an internal ganef, right? Or they say things like, yeah, of course, don't do niyaf with Ashes Ish, but you also shouldn't imagine doing it. Don't be an internal naif, right? Like our great friend Jesus said, you've already slept with her in your heart, remember? So, remember they said that?
No.
So,
by the harlot story?
No, there's a story about this.
It's
a
separate story.
It's
no sheikhs.
There's no story.
Yeah.
I don't know. It says this. It's a musr. And now, we're saying that this is fundamental in some sense. It's fundamental. Someone who does, I think that most of us are not ganovim and doitzchim and yafim, which is part of why we're so happy with Aser Sadibris, because it's the thing that most of us do. Besides for Kavdes Rich Vasimecha. Right? He just says, there's like, check, Kavet. Say it in the Gemara days, right? Ashre Mishlechama. It says in the Gemara, Chamurish of Chamuris. What's Chamurish? Chamurish just means nobody does it. But of course, in some sense, people do it. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But what am I saying? But we are saying that there's something basic to being a good person, that it's not enough. And we would not trust. I said this to you over here. I said in Barpak Drisha. None of you would trust someone that's like, but right? The ideal brisket nobody should go close to, right? Like, yeah, I think I should murder you, but I'm very having great hisgabris. I'm a great guy.
The Gemara says something like this regarding a moyel and a shoychet.
No, that's
it. No, like really,
he has this. Aggression. Yeah, something like aggression, and he should put his aggression into something else. Not saying that it's good. It's a better person. Like the Gemara doesn't even pretend that it's better. It just what's I to do. But you're not a better person if that's the Rambam's discussion of Perek Vav. But for sure, you're not a good person at all. Forget about it. Someone who's missing the midpnimis of the Sirtzach is a bad person. We all agree on that. But I think all of us agree with that. And therefore, it seems to me very important to me that the Seres HaDibris, if there is something basic, they need to include being a good person. And where is that? You can say something like it's implicit in just Leitirtzach. But Leitirtzach is an action. Teretz of them is Shtitli Sachmoid. That's the Teretz. You hap? The Sachmoid is saying all these four things that I told you until now. This is not my pshat. It says in the Medrash, it says in the Rambam, brings it in Chzeleh Avedu, he talks about the Sachmoid more or less explicitly. The Sachmoid is saying, I'm going to finish with this pshat because I have a lot more to say, but the Sachmoid is saying like this, Lo'yitinov, Lo'yitinov, Lo'yitignov, Lo'yitirtzach, Lo'yitzan, Abriach, Lo'yitchukr. Of course, those are things you shouldn't do. I want to tell you something. You should not want to do them either. Then everyone's like, do I want to? The answer is no. Do you want to? Do you want a ganva? Oh, you think that the guy, you think that it's yours. That's a different discussion. But you don't want a ganva. right? At least you have that middah. I think otherwise nothing would start. Most people would be killing if they wouldn't have that middah. Saying don't want to. Now everyone understands. That's why there's so many words in this. You know why there's so many words? I'll explain to you. Why? There's different. There's two versions. I can get into details. But basically, because lois achmoed is not a new thing. It's not a new thing. There's not really 10 mitzvahs in a sense. You could count as 10 mitzvahs, but it's not 10 objects. Lois achmoed doesn't have a new object. Otherwise, unlike the person that would say lois achmoed is a new thing, it's a mitzvah shebelev, which refers to your heart. No, it's a mitzvah shebelev, but like all mitzvah shebelev, refers to an action. Right? Lois achmoed is saying, lois achmoed beis re'echo means, I'll tell you what it means. One thing, at least one thing it means. It means don't want your friend's house enough to go in bed and say that you bought it with Eide Sheker. Leisane. Leisachmed Eishes Recha means Leisinov. Not only Leisinov, because Leisinov comes from someone. Eishes Recha doesn't mean that you have to be, it's very clear. It doesn't mean don't be a person that has Heruriz Nus. Because that's nothing to do with Leisinov. That's just a new thing. You should be turning and learning and not being worried about thinking Shtisim. You shouldn't waste your great mind and your great imagination and imagining nonsense. Okay, that's a nice thing. But means don't be the kind of guy that wants to and likes to sleep with his neighbor's wife, his friend's wife, his neighbor's wife. Right? Of course, that's a problem because people, this is something that people do like sometimes. It's not so easy to say that you don't. But I'm trying to explain to you that it's Mesiach is to the Ishishishaba, not to the Ishishaba. Very important. If I'm choymed, there's really halacha. There's halacha l'sach l'esh recha. Now, if I see my friend's wife and I just say, "Well, that's a beautiful woman," would be nice. That's not l'sach l'esh recha. That's l'sach l'isha. Shtet in Mishnah l'sach l'yach yafia b'libecha ki bad isha zoinat ki kalachem. It's very important. It causes bad things. But that's not l'sach l'esh recha. L'sach l'esh recha means jealousy, right? It means that guy has such a beautiful wife. Chutzpah, who gave him the right to have a nice wife after mine? I think I should get it. That's what someone like King David did, right? Different. No, I'm giving you a true example. We have such stories. Usually you have to be a powerful person to be able to even have the imagination. That's what my brother Luzik called me and said that only kings are Ivan Lisachmed. You're not in the game. It's not the Mionis. If you're a king, you can have Lisachmed.
Exactly.
For the cash.
The peasant.
Another person doesn't even have the sign of Lisachmed, because how are you going to do it? I'm just saying that Eishes Recha, it's like Rabbi Avinu Meralam says here, Lesachma doesn't mean you should want to have the same thing that that guy has. Right? Just like everyone understands. I see a guy has a beautiful car, I would want to have that car too. That's not Lesachma. It's maybe a Tama Baltao, it's a Grau Be'ing, Chleisnish. People talk about that on Lesachma often, the Bali Musa. But it's not Lesachma from the Chumash. Lesachma means, I want his car. Why do I want his car? There's enough in the store. Okay, maybe there's not enough. Maybe we can talk about the practicalities, how that would work. But it means I want his car. Therefore, what am I going to do? I'm going to take it away from him. How am I going to do it? Leisignov! Leisachmed means don't want to do Leisignov. Which one did we miss? Leisirtzach. Very obvious. He doesn't give it to me. Off with his head. Who was the primary, who is the paradigm example of Leisachmed? Achav. I think the Rambam made this up. I didn't find it. I mean, there's a Medrash. That's a medrash, but I don't know if that medrash is written before or after the Rambam. But Sikter Abasi says this. Sikter Abasi says why was this written? Because every one of them, there was someone that was over. And it goes through history. So now, I'm fine. And who was Lis Achmed? Achav. Remember Achav? Achav saw he had a neighbor, Novos, who had a beautiful vineyard, pink next to his house, would have made a very good pulish for his shtibel. And he said, went to him and said, maybe sell it to me, I'll give you a better one. And what did the guy say? Not for sale. I'm not in the vineyard selling business. This is my father's vineyard. I'm not giving it to you. And Rachav went home and he told his wife, Isabel. And he said, I was thinking of making a deal with this guy, but he's not interested. And she's like, are you a king? Atta tia melech al Yisrael. You don't know who told me this thing. She was from Tzur. She didn't have the Jewish tradition that a king can't really do anything.
That's what they said.
How kings work. Kings get things, they don't ask, right?
There's one of these like Jewish apologists, or Miller, so he's into this, you see that even the bad Jewish king would never do this, and a guy had to tell him.
That's true. Nowadays, the Jewish kings all learned how to do this, but in the original Judaism, there's very little power. I mean, someplace, very little power for anyone, can't do anything to anyone. So, I think like Lesigzel, it's very impressive if you read Chashamish, but it's like the one thing, like, people think that it's the problem with Chashmish, but that it might smachver al varayv is such a powerful principle. But really, just because we're anarchists, like, the best doesn't really have any power unless they're really, really sure they can take something away. Otherwise, like, the guy has it, probably he knows why. Probably he's right. Called Alam Gover. That's the Dash, right? No, it's a basic principle of Jewish law that, like, we're, it's the worst, the most humbling thing. By the way, it's like, people think, what's the hardest thing to do? The hardest thing to take is take money out of another yid. In Allah, it's the hardest thing. He's one shittah, Kimli. Plats. I hold like the Ravid. You well never learned anything. What it just means to say, are you so sure that the Ravid is wrong that you take my money out of my pocket? Are you're so sure the Ravid is wrong, you're matrejish? For sure. They every day we do that. But take money out of someone's pocket? It says in the one of the Akhbar that that's chapter of the Heter of Hefzid Miller. Yerda is full of like, if it's worth money, then what do you need for money? Yeah, because it's Mechmeel al Varaya. You're taking the guy's geld. Geld is the Raisa. Chash Dam is Tedes, the Rabbanim is Paiskim that you could eat in Suffolk. Anyways, how am I getting back to my point? So Achav's wife told him, what do you mean you're a king? You could take it. So what did they do? They did the only legal execution in the history of the Bible. You know? I heard this in Rav Shemba, people always often talk about the laws of execution, like there's too many things we execute for. He said that in the whole history of the Tanakh, there's only one person that actually killed with Edom and Esra and everything. Yeah, Moshe killed people for being Michal Shaz, but in a weird way. There was no Esra, right? It was not, was extra judicial. But there's only one person that did with all the halachas. Chaladeis was justified. Halachadik,
somewhere
else, not the best that were Edom Shaker, right?
Somewhere else, not in the Bible. Susanna, they tried. Susanna.
What is?
Ah,
Daniel, you mean that story?
They tried to frame also.
Okay. Anyways, the kid said he made a whole court as a megadif, berichalim melech. They killed him. He took his thing, and then Eliyahu Nevi came to him and told him, "You're a ritzach and everything." And like, I'm a ritzach. False going kosher. There's a psak from the Idachredes. You're allowed. Which avayda was he over? He was over the seretzach. He was over the signal. But he was really over on Leisachmet, as the Rambam says. What's Leisachmet? Because the word Leisachmet was that he wanted to buy it. Right? But he wanted his thing. Now he could also understand why he wanted his thing, because it's real estate. It's location, location, location. There isn't another Kerem Levis. It's not exchangeable. He wants that one, but it's his. So he wants his. And he's not going to be stopped because he's the king, so he can take it. That's called Leisachmet. So Leisachmed is the wanting of all these five Dibris, all the four previous ones. And this is where the mitzvah Shebelev, which is not a mitzvah Shebelev, but a mitzvah Shebelev HaMisyachas Le Maisara. That's the very, it's very basic. The source of the whole thing of being a good person, and that there's a Dibris, where does it say in Torah you have to have good midas? Shet Leisachmed. A lot of people are very worried. The Rambam says v'lacht v'drochav. That's another thing. But I'm talking specifically about the middah of not being a ganav. Where does it say that? It says leisachmed. Leisachmed state that you shouldn't be a person that wants other people's things. And here the Ben Ezra does have a question. Like, what if I do? Okay. We'll talk about, go to therapy. That's what the Sefer HaChanach says, basically. Go to therapy. Figure it out. Not my problem. But that's the point. And that's why it's very important. And I do think that there were other people that explicitly, even Philo, interprets Leisachmed in a much more radical way. And he says Leisachmed means not to have appetite, not to have desires. And connects this with this whole like Platonic language of desire being the problem. And we need to go follow reason and not desire. And I think that he's wrong. And because he read the wrong translation of the Bible. In his Bible, Leisachmed is translated as don't have desire. Epitheme in Greek. It shouldn't be translated that way. We translate it as something else. So we translate a word that means wanting someone else's thing too much. And there's a word for that. Aristotle has a middle for that. I forgot the word, so I can't tell it to you. And this is not my part. This is other people. Harry Wolfson already noticed this, other people. But and Ibn Ezra, a lot of people seem to a little bit be on the other side. There's definitely the version that think that Leisachmed means not to have Titus. I'm not masking. There was. There should be
mean?
More. My cash is why there's not four Leisachmeds.
Oh, fine, but this is very weird.
That's a different question. No, it's just kashver. The answer is stylistic. I don't think it's such a shver thing.
What does that mean?
Like there's two eretzes in the eretz.
What does that mean, not have tivus?
Like, be not have too much desire. That would be a whole different pshat. That would be an internal pshat. That internal, a fully internal pshat. Like, don't be the kind of person that follows his desires too much. Because then...
Oh, follows his desires.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, having,
not have.
Well, having... Yeah, having having is also... Having. Not control. It doesn't control his desires. Control in internal sense also. Before doing it. Everything is internal.
Right, but I'm saying...
That would be something... That would be a whole different pshat.
No, and Lamas, the Pusik makes much more sense, like what you're saying, because like there's Cholachel in Ayechu, it's functioning the little, it's like focusing on the Ayechu part.
Yes, yes.
It's not an issue in the street, it's Ishkan Ayechu.
Well, some of them have Ayesh's issues.
No, then that's an Ayechu problem.
Or you could say she belongs to herself, Ochet Nishchaim.
Oh, I mean, she belongs to herself.
It says in the Med, it says
sensual.
In the Chilta says, Hava men le sachman means na le hav shat red shaduchim. Because it's bit chalibni. Or bit chali. Kamash malon, they have a way to explain a limit why you're allowed to ask for shaduch. Because that's legitimate. It says the medesh mechilta. You understand? When you, a pnuya is mutter le stakalba, mutter lachmad. That's the halacha. What does it mean lachmad? Lachmad doesn't mean la'anis. It means you're going to ask your father to give it, to marry her or whatever, ask her, however it works. That's 100% legitimate. You're not taking it away from her. If your plan is to rape her, then you're over on the sachmad ochet. Depends what the plan is. But it depends what kind of person you are. If you're going to be told no, and then you're going to do something else, then you're over on the sachmad. So there is, in the sense, there is a sense of desire being the sachmad. We talk about l'sasava being a step before. After, that's another whole sheet. But anyways, I think that this is enough for us to understand that the sachmad is the mekayid and the Torah for being the, not being the kind of person who wants someone else's thing. And that is a midah.
So we're in the whole series of the Takas say to, like, let's say Znis.
What does that mean, Znis?
Random women.
Doesn't say, listen up, listen up.
No, but listen up, it's not only...
What do you mean random? What's random? There's no random.
You start off with the... Random means not your friends, not someone that's married. Some just...
That's a mitzvah, verstanden.
What?
And the chametzvah ochet, peri virevi, what do you mean? Which avaira is it?
Man, Znis, kedaishu, no?
That's the Rambam's chiddush. That's such a yosef. It's not such a yosef. Rambam is a chiddush, correct? Yeah.
What happened with Tamar?
What was wrong with that? That was a mitzvah. As you said, Rambam, the machloek is not going to be able to get it. Why do I keep on talking about this? The machloek is mechaber and ramu if you're allowed to go to a zayna. You don't know. Pelegesh.
It's Yaakov Emden.
Yeah.
Pelegesh, yeah.
Mechlekes mechaber amu. No, Zoyin is usse the kaladais, but Pelegesh is mechlekes mechaber amu. Ish panuya b'licha pevekadosh is mechlekes mechaber amu, the mechlekes rama meravit.
What do you mean? There's a header for the melech of Pelegesh, right?
As loy zog de...
Rambam.
Aber Ravid zogt. As yadid meg. And that's because the Ravid was more traditionally Jewish, he didn't hold a melech as specific privileges.
Yeah, but...
Okay. Mechlekes, it's rama meravit brings both chittas. In Shechan Orech. What's it got to do with anything? That's not Znus. That's
no, because Rav Sadi said that's all
Nichla. Rav Sadi said it's Nichla. If it's Nichla, then it's Nichla. Listen, it's enough. Listen, what's the bayah?
No, I'm saying maybe it's all Nichla, maybe only Lysachmoid. That's what I'm trying to say.
No. Rav Sadi, by the way, it says that Kasher is part of the Sachmoid. That was part of the problem. That seems to understand it the other way around. Not the way that I'm saying it. But,
right. Because it's for sure being Aish Israel.
Say that if a Kadesh, no, it depends how you understand the Issa Kadesh. You don't have to understand it as a problem of Tidus. You can understand it as a problem as that she doesn't belong to you, she belongs to herself. You could explain, depends how you explain these kind of Issa. You can explain it both ways. You don't have to, I don't know how much I've committed the Masa between these Pshidim. It's theoretical I've committed.
Why? Let's say the
Issa
of Eid Va'inon, right?
No, that's Melanachavaya.
Uh-huh. But what, which one would that be in?
What the shana?
In
Lissachmed or in Lissinov? No, it's about the Lissinov. It's all, again, but I've listened. How is it also? How much? What's the gather? Why is it also? But Lissachmed is always the internal of all these things. I'm saying that the internal of all of that is Lissachmed. That's not an internal thing. That's the Masa. That's a different question. I'm thinking Lissachmed is that doesn't add any masim that are usid. There's no masim that are usid without Lissachmed that they're not. We're not usid. That's very important because it seems to justify this. I have to go through a lot of Rishonim and Gemuras because there seems to be say different things. But what I'm telling is, first I tell them Pshat Pusik, which makes sense. Lissachmed is not. There's no new things that would have been mitzvah mitzad Lissinov, but now they're or Lissachmed or Lissirtzach or Lissignov, and now they're usid because of Lissachmed. Lissachmed is whatever is Lissignov is also ochet neshchayim mitzah. Why? Because then you're going to lead, it's going to lead you to the signal, and also because it's itself a bad thing, because you're a bad person for wanting that. That's what I say. To really justify this, I have to get into the whole sigya. It's not so simple. Might be wrong, but that's enough for my sheet. Press my red button.